Kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo erirangi pōho he parakuihi. Tēnei, you're listening to 95 BFM Breakfast. It's time for our monthly catch-up with the National Party. I'm joined on the airwaves by Minister for Building and Construction, Chris Penk. Morena, Chris.
Morena, good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I hope you're well and your listeners too.
Yeah, thanks. Interested to get into this kōrero today. There's just been a new announcement from the government that you'll be allowing more overseas materials to come in to an attempt to bring down building costs. Could you tell me a little bit about this decision?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you think about the cost of building, it is so high in this country. And of course, that's got a direct impact on new build prices, but also prices right throughout, whether you're talking about people owning or renting. So we know it's a tough nut to crack. Successive governments, including past national governments, have found it difficult to control the inflation of house prices. So we're thinking about every way that we can actually improve that situation. And one of them is to ask whether there's enough competition in terms of the building materials that are used in this country. Because, of course, if we've got enough competition, then there's a bit of competitive pressure on prices. So partly it's that, partly it's about innovation. And what we've said specifically is that And now have brought into law, having first talked about it last year, is that if there are credible and comparable overseas jurisdictions, countries that have got good standards and are quite similar to New Zealand in terms of conditions, then we'll be able to use the materials that they've approved here without jumping through all the hoops that are currently in place.
Mm. And so what will this look like in practice to ensure that when these materials are actually sold in New Zealand, there won't become a new sort of monopoly on the cost of things?
Yeah, a really good question, because I think you've always got to consider the way that the policy is going to play out. We think that the market will be able to move in a favourable direction, in the sense that if we allow a variety of products from a variety of places, then we're not going to replace one monopoly for another, or have a duopoly rather than a monopoly, which is not much better from a competitive point of view. And so we've picked in the first place some standards from likes of Australia, where we already share quite a few standards in this space and elsewhere, America, Europe, and there are other places in the world too that we can look to add. But we'll only do that really carefully, not only from a point of view of price, but actually more importantly, we want to maintain the same quality standards. We're not interested, and no one's interested, I'd say, in this country, in having cheaper materials that don't last the distance, because of course that's a false economy in itself, and then people wouldn't have the benefit of the safe, durable, quality homes that we want them to have.
Mm. There's been general sort of support for this new decision from the opposition, but there is a lot of criticism about, this government talking a big game about wanting to help the building and construction sector while also cancelling hundreds of projects, including the building of schools and kāinga ora houses. What's your response to this criticism?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are two things, really. One is that we need to make it easier, faster, and more affordable to build. So regardless of what projects are on the books, we need them to happen quickly, because that's good for the sector, because they can get the job done and move on to the next thing. And, of course, it's important for the consumer, who obviously wants to be able to live in a place or work or play in a place that's, some sort of reasonable cost. But at the same time, there's a bit of a myth out there, respectfully, I would point out, in terms of projects. I mean, last year, for example, was the highest number of school classrooms built, probably in a generation. I forget the year, but the parliamentary opposition would say, "Oh, that's because they were, previously consented or appropriated." But this is the reality. It does take 2 or 3 years, and we're trying to work on it to make it a quicker process, by the way, in terms of resource consenting and so on, to do build. So, of course, in the second year of a new government, it's going to be the case that some of that's spilled over from the past regime. But at the same time, you can't claim that there's been no activity and that it's all the fault of the incoming government. The reality is that the macroeconomic conditions, whether it's high inflation or the interest rates used to combat that, have been around for a few years, and the consequences are now that the sector's finding it tough. But there are green shoots of recovery visible, so we're really confident that the second half of this year, and certainly next year, will be quite a lot of positive activity climbing out of those doldrums.
But there is no denying the fact that this is a sector that's really struggling at the moment, and we've seen around 17,000 jobs lost in the sector since the day of the election. So What else is this government going to do to support our infrastructure?
Well, the answer to that is actually there's quite a lot of activity on the government side. The private sector side obviously will make decisions on a case-by-case basis, but overall the conditions are favourable now for that to come online, and certainly anecdotally, as well as in some of the data, that's what we're seeing. On the government side, we've got $6 billion worth of infrastructure projects that will take place, you know, physically get underway between now and Christmas. So there is light on the horizon, not just in the medium to long term, but in the short term. But actually, if we're going to have more of that, for the sake of the sector, but also because we need to grow as a nation, we've got opportunities in terms of people coming into this country, and we want good opportunities throughout New Zealand for Kiwis here as well. You think about, you know, reforming the Resource Management Act, fast track, and I know that was, you know, controversial in some quarters when we're putting it through, but the reality is that's got tens of thousands of new residential homes that will be able to be made much more quickly as a result of that. So there are a number of measures that we can have and are going to continue to take.
Mm. I want to pivot a little bit and talk about the halt on the building code changes. It's going to happen for 3 years before we review that again. And yeah, I guess as you mentioned the fast track bill as well, is there concern that having these sort of halts on potentially incorporating more green looking sort of policies and infrastructure and building, is that going to make us fall behind other countries?
I don't think so. And part of the answer is because a 3-yearly cycle is will not be unique to New Zealand once we bring it in. And in Australia, for example, there is a 3-year cycle already. So the smart thing to do is to align with them and to say, well, let's keep up with them. Again, that helps with the comparisons that we can make to get best practice internationally. And while it's possible for me to say, you know, well, we should be constantly updating, the reality is it's actually a huge amount of, stress, but also lack of productivity in the sector where no one knows quite what the rules are because they're literally always just changed, about to change, or under threat of change. So to provide a bit of certainty in a cycle around that, we think it's probably a sensible approach that won't see us fall far behind. And in fact, we can probably have a sector that's more geared up to following and matching international trends if we know what we're doing and we can look closely across the Tasman and further afield.
Will there be a risk to the safety of our buildings and houses because of this pause?
No, I really don't think so. I mean, to suggest that we would have lower standards or any kind of risk would be to say, well, for 3 years we're not going to have any standards at all. Well, actually, the reality is that in the intervening 3-year period, what we're going to have is the same standards we've had up till that moment. So we're never more than 3 years out of date. And if you think about ordering of materials or construction of materials, you know, great Kiwi manufacturers who we want to keep doing their thing and innovating, for them to be able to innovate and to manufacture according to a set of standards that they know at least for 3 years in a row, and thinking about the investment that they need to make in their plant and their people, that's I think a very fair balance in terms of the certainty versus the innovation. And can I just add, I should point out that we will react as needed urgently and review more quickly if there are specific real world events that we need to respond to. You know, think of the fire in Lofa's Lodge and the tragedy of the lives lost there a few years ago. Mm. You know, we're reviewing this fire safety code and that was started under the previous government. We've continued it on. That's a sensible thing to do when we have the opportunity to learn more. So we're not precluding that kind of thing, even as we say, in general terms, we'll put on a regular cycle.
Mm. And just to finish up, the going back to overseas products being used in building, when will we see that start to be implemented and more details of that policy rolled out?
Yeah, well, it was actually from Monday of this week that the policy came into effect with the standards. And of course, it will take time. As we've just been discussing in another context regarding a 3-year pause, it takes time for industry to react. I mean, there's the time that it takes to physically ship products from overseas. But it's actually really exciting to think how quickly this could be helpful because in a number of cases, overseas products can theoretically already be used here. But the reason that they're not compared with other overseas products, or dare I say it, in some cases, New Zealand products, is because the hoops that you jump through at an individual council level, where they have to determine that they're happy that these products meet our standards, is the major saving that we'll be able to make almost immediately. So it will be a rolling mall, but it will start literally this week onwards.
Right. Thank you very much, Minister for Building and Construction, Chris Pink. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and we look forward to catching up with the National Party next month.
Thanks so much. Best wishes.
Ka kite.